Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time BQ&A. It's a show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God, faith, contemporary religion, and the Bible. It's a show where we look at world religious trends in the light of Bible prophecy. G'day, friends. It's Pastor Will Moala in the studio tonight, and we are kicking off a brand new theme, brand new week here in Adelaide. And if you're new to the show, if you've just stumbled across 88.0, we get the privilege of going live from our Adelaide studio weekdays, 5 p.m. Adelaide time. So thank you for joining us. Or if you've just stumbled across our radio station, welcome. We'd love for you to spend the next few moments with us. I'm joined in the studio tonight with my co-host, Pastor Gary Hodgkin. Pastor Gary, thank you for joining and stepping in tonight.
It is fantastic to be able to come and join with you, particularly sitting on this side of the, desk. Absolutely love being able to dig into God's Word and all that it does actually share with us.
Amen. Well, praise God. And for those who may not know, Pastor Gary leads the Faith FM charge here in South Australia. So thank you for doing what you do behind the scenes as well, Pastor Gary. It is very much appreciated. So, as we do on Faith FM Drive Time Big Q&A, each and every week, we get to explore a new topic, a new theme, conversation that not only Gary and I, but the rest of our team will be, looking at different aspects of the theme as we go throughout the week. So our brand new theme tonight that we want to introduce to you, our lovely listeners out there in Radio Land, the theme for tonight and this week, the church and money in a very human world. I love this topic, Pastor Gary. I mean, who is not and does not want more money? Let's just put it bluntly. But so we're going to talk about the church and money in a very human world. And so that's the overarching theme. But tonight, and I always say this to our listeners out there in Radio Land, Pastor Brendan and I, we get the privilege of introducing the topic. So sometimes we may be hopefully not talking over the upcoming presenters and their particular perspective of the topic. So, so it's a Monday evening and we are coming to you live and we get to introduce the topic to you and our team. Throughout the course of the week, we'll be taking different aspects of this theme. So the church and money in a very human world. And tonight's question that Gary and I will be looking at, what does the Bible teach us about money? We all deal with money. We all wish we wanted more. And sometimes, this is something that is very relevant, and I'm sure for you listeners out there, that money is something that we often think about every day. We often don't say it verbally, but it is very much on our minds each and every day. Bills to pay, putting kids through school, and, everything revolves around money. Well, not the most important thing per se, but it is very much a daily part of our lives. So Gary and I are going to look at the topic, the question tonight, what does the Bible teach about money? And we're going to have a conversation on that just a few minutes in our show a little later on. But as we do at the top of the hour on Faith FM Drive Time, we always like to start with what we call a World Watch segment, which is something interesting that's happening in our culture, something that's happening on the news headlines. And tonight we're going to talk about something which is very relevant. It actually happened today, if you're not hiding under a rock somewhere here in Australia. So we'll get to that in just a moment. And right after that, we're going to promote our book offer. We have a wonderful resource that we'd love to give to you. And all you need to do is text us the code. We'll do that in a moment. And then we'll go to a break. And then we come back. Pastor Gary is going to lead us through tonight's question. What does the Bible teach about money? So without further ado, by the way, as well, Pastor Gary, as you and I know, and as you often say to our team, we'd love to hear from our radio audience. So we've got a big screen up on here up in the studio, and we can see all the book offers coming through in real time. So I want to say to you, if you are able to, you, obviously if you're driving, you obviously don't have the opportunity to do this, but if you can, you're at home, you're in the kitchen, you're, kind of got the radio in the background while you're kind of doing some stuff around the house. Hey, can I encourage you? Can you grab your phone and text us? Just say, hey, it's John and I'm listening from such and such a place. And I'd love to see you guys text us through. And I always like to give you a quick shout out on our show as well. So our number is 0488880811. Did I do that right, Pastor Gary?
Certainly, yes. Did. Yes. Very well.
There is a method to how we do things around here, Faith FM. So 0488880811. 80811. And if you can, hey, drop us a quick text. Let us know where you're tuning in from. So without further ado, let's jump into the World Watch segment. So tonight, Pastor Gary, and I've already shared this with you off air before we've gone live, something interesting happened across the country, and you were most probably experienced it too. So what are we talking about? We are talking about Oz Alert. Now, what's that all about? Why are you laughing, Pastor Gary? So for those who didn't receive it, or those who may not know, something very interesting happened today. Well, more than interesting, we'll get into it. But basically what happened was Oz Alert, which is Australia's new national emergency warning system, underwent its first nationwide live test today, on Monday the 27th of July 2026. The official public rollout will happen a little later on in the year, on the 1st of October 2026. And so, hey, Pastor Gary, I just wanted to share this with you and with our listeners out there, because that's exactly what happened to me. I wasn't even aware of what was going to happen. I was at my office kind of doing some admin. And then about 1:32 p.m. this arvo earlier today, I received this notification, and it had a siren sound, and it was blaring. I thought there was a fire on in the house. I don't know what was going on. And I asked you, Pastor Gary, did you receive the Oz Alert?
I did, but my Oz Alert only went for about 2 seconds. So I actually feel a little bit deprived.
You didn't get the full,
I didn't get the full blast. And I'm trying to work out whether that means I'm not quite Australian enough.
You're not on the priority list.
I'm not on the priority list.
You're on the lower end of the rung of the ladder. No, just kidding. Hey, but actually this did actually happen today. And if you're listening, it most probably you got this message through your phone. And so the message said something like this: test message, Oz Alert. This is a test of Oz Alert, Australia's new emergency warning system. No action is required. In an actual emergency, follow the instructions in the alert to keep yourself and others safe. Visit the Oz Alert website for more information. This message is authorized by the Australian government. Pastor Gary, can I do this? I think to make it more, I guess, more real for our listeners out there, I'm on the ozalert.gov.au website. And they've got a whole, you know.
I didn't even realize there was a website.
Yeah. I didn't either till about a few hours ago. And what they've got is they've got a whole kind of like a page on the national test. So today was the national test. And so, and was basically around 1:30, all across the country. So here in Adelaide, it was 1:30, you know, in New South Wales, same time, actually 1:30,
Queensland.
Yeah. It was half an hour difference here and there. Yep. But they've actually got on the website here. I want to play it for you, Gary, and for our listeners. If you didn't have the privilege of listening or hearing this siren go off on your phone, it sounded like this. Now, I'm going to play this 11-second audio, and this is what you probably would have heard. And so here we go. So I'm going to hit the play button, and I hope you can hear it through there on Radio Land, but this is what you would have heard today on your phones. And by the way, Pastor Gary, because we're here in Adelaide, they had footage. Someone had kind of videoed Rundle Mall and people around, and it was loud. I mean, just outside, you know, the big shops. I mean, it was all at once.
We have actually got a message in from someone, from Jonah, actually, up at...
Oh, yeah.
He said to us, he said, hey, listening to you on my phone while I fix up my car, I'm listening 40 kilometres out of Katherine in the Northern Territory.
Wow.
And yes, I got the Oz Alert, but my daughter and her grandmother didn't. Absolutely weird.
Yep. And I think I'm going to get to that in a minute. There, obviously, because it was the first test, that there were, you know, some segments that didn't receive it for various reasons. But it sounds like overall it was a success.
Mm.
But hey, Jonah, by the way, thanks for texting in, mate. And yeah, so your daughter and your grandmother didn't get it. So weird. Yeah, I agree. And obviously this has been a trial test run. So they're going to have to, you know, look at what went wrong and why didn't certain segments of our community get it and kind of fix it up from there. But let me play with you this is the 11-second siren. For those who may not have received the message today, this is what you would have heard. And then the text message would have flashed. So you ready, guys? Here it is. It's loud. It doesn't sound very friendly, does it, Puzzle Gary?
It doesn't sound very friendly. It certainly wake you up if you're asleep.
Yeah. You know what it reminded me of? And that's the siren that, and as I was saying to Puzzle Gary, because we're here in Adelaide, they've, on 7 News Adelaide, they've got footage of, our, you know, right in the heart of the CBD, Rundle Mall. And this was like, all the shops were doing this at once. So you can imagine, can you imagine if you were some...
This is a modern day air raid siren.
Yeah. I mean, even when I was at home, when I looked at it, I tensed up, I got nervous, and then Tarani's phone went off too, my lovely wife's as well. And then obviously we read the message. It was a test. But, anyway, that happened today. So if you weren't aware of it, today was the national test for the AusAlert rollout. And as Jonas said, as he's just texted through a moment ago, there were some pockets that did not receive the coverage. So Jonas saying that up there in the Northern Territory, they didn't get the message. I'm here on the abc.net.au website, and there is very similar to Jonas' text message that he just sent through. There was, I think, a lady, a resident over in Repton, just south of Coffs Harbour. So if you're looking on the ABC website, this is what she had to say. And she basically didn't get the message as well. So this is from a lady named Kerry Fildes, I think her name is pronounced, who lives in Repton, just south of Coffs Harbour on northern New South Wales coast. This is what she said, quote, "I live in bushfire prone area, and the last time we had to evacuate, the RFS was forced to door knock 300 residents due to poor mobile coverage," she says. "Residents had hoped that the AusAlert system would be helpful in alerting us to the danger of fires. However, I have checked with a large number of residents and none of us received the AusAlert test today." And then she says, "That's probably because Telstra only provides Wi-Fi calling as a fallback service." Kerry says the government needs to answer who AusAlert was built for and whether the telco service capabilities in parts of remote and regional Australia were taken into account when building the emergency warning system. And look, if you go on the website, to you listeners out there, just go online, Google it, and all the channel stations are covering this tonight. So I just wanted to bring it to your attention, Pastor Gary. What were your thoughts on it? Look, I couldn't help but think there are some elements that will see what happened today and go, there it is, the government's up to something. In fact, this was what my wife actually said. One of the first things that came out of her mouth was, what's happening? Like, she already had this suspicious kind of response to it.
But certainly if you wanted to actually fuel the whole conspiracy theory, yeah, this would be something that you could actually pick up. I mean, to me, I certainly didn't even realise that there was a possibility, that there was a way whereby you could actually communicate to every single mobile phone within Australia. I didn't even know that. My phone certainly did receive the message. Okay, it only gave me a 2-second burst. The technology that's actually behind this is something that has to be is awe-inspiring, because to me, the do I recognize incredible possibilities on it? Yeah, I certainly do. Certainly in times of disaster, to be able to communicate with the entire population has to be positive.
Yeah.
But of course, the challenge there is that most disasters are actually regionally based. Very rarely is there one that covers right across the entire country. So I would assume that this would be something that you could actually give to dedicated regions. I would assume, otherwise you're going to create panic right across the population. But one of the things that I'm just increasingly conscious of myself is the incredible possibility of the whole hacking world out there.
Yep.
The moment you put something like this in place, and I recognise that companies across the board try to make their websites as secure as they possibly can. But we've certainly seen with Telstra recently, we've seen with Optus, we've seen with Origin Energy. Yep. You know, these are got professional IT trained and professional people running their software, and yet somehow someone someone manages to get into the to the entire system. To me, as I look at this this whole situation, I turn around and I say, "Hey, our world is changing faster than what we actually do realize."
Yeah, good point there, Pastor Gary. And just to kind of wrap up this World Watch segment on a good note, actually. So, according to the ABC News reporting, Emergency Management Minister Christy McBain, she says that 94% of the country's targeted mobile phone towers were able to receive and broadcast the signal. So obviously there were some pockets that didn't get the text in.
Yeah.
So obviously there's a bit of fixing up in some of those areas that didn't receive it. But I guess generally speaking, on overall, it is good to kind of have this nationwide response and to floods, disasters, or any type of crisis emergency. So, hey, just a thought, to kind of connect this, if I could, Pastor Gary, I was just thinking, what Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24, that we're going to see a lot of things are going to happen in rapid succession. And I can't help but think that technology, for good and for worse,
yeah,
is definitely a big part of our everyday lives. I mean, I was just watching, Gary, I maybe wanted to talk about this on another World Watch segment, but I watched the rise of the AI Autobot industry,
yeah,
and some of the technology that's coming out of Asia, particularly China. There was the reality that we're living in this almost like a AI revolution, as it were, yeah, where robotics from cars to, our phones. I mean, we don't realize that technology is becoming more and more and more just very much a part of our day-to-day lives. And the challenge for us is how do we use technology? I mean, we're talking as Christians here as a Faith FM Christian ministry radio broadcast. How do we use technology to share and to spread the gospel of Jesus?
I think the more significant question on this one will, yeah, is how do I make technology my servant rather than my master?
Wow.
Because the reality is that it's very easy to make allow technology to actually become your master rather than your servant.
Yeah.
How do you actually physically do that?
I mean, the way you put it.
We're past that time where we can say, okay, we're not going to have to live with this stuff. We have to live with this stuff. And I'm old enough to recognize that technology has increasingly been moving at a faster pace. I love actually Daniel chapter 12 verse 4. Yeah. But you, Daniel, shut up the words, the book he's just written, and seal the book until the time of the end. Many will run to and fro and knowledge shall increase.
Yeah.
And, prophecy says that at the end of time, what's going to occur? Well, you're actually going to see an amazing increase in prophecy. And that's what's occurring at this very moment. To me, increasingly, I think the big question is how do we make technology our servant, not our master.
Wow, beautiful put. That's a nice tagline: servant, not master. So, hey, so that's our World Watch segment today. Hope you enjoyed it. We're going to switch gears now. We're going to go to a break, but before we do that, we have a brand new book offer that we want to give to you, our loyal listeners out there in Radioland. The title of the book, speaking of technology, Vibrant Life Special: Screen Smart. So this book is actually invites readers to pause, look up, and consider what happens when we step away from our screens and back into real life. Packed with eye-catching visuals, interactive games, quizzes, and challenges from digital detoxes, which I think we all could deal with, to green time adventures, it explores gaming overload, social pressures, emojis, AI, and the search for validation. And so targeted for younger kids, if you'd like a free copy, all you need to do is grab your phone and text us the code. So tonight's code is, here it is, SA427. So when you text through, that's all you need to text us, the code SA427. And please text that code to the number 0488 80811. Follow the prompts and we'll get that book out to you as soon as we can. So don't go away. We'll go into some music. And when we come back, we'll take a dive into tonight's conversation dealing with what does the Bible teach us about money. Please don't go away. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. You are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling all sinners, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus, he's pleading, pleading for you and for me? Should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling all sinners, come home. Come home, come home.
That was Softly and Tenderly by Anna Weatherup. We hope you enjoyed that song. If you just joined us, it's Will and Gary in the studio. Faith FM Drive Time, 5 p.m. weekdays, Adelaide time. And we started a new theme to this week, The Church and Money in a Very Human World. And that's the topic, our theme that Gary and I and the rest of our presenters will be looking at for the duration of this week. But tonight, the question is, and let me just pause. Before we get there, quick shout out to Preston from, I believe it's Foster, New South Wales. So Preston, I can see your name come through on the screen. Blessings to you. Thank you for supporting Faith FM Drive Time. We got your code, mate, and we'll get that book out to you as soon as we can. So thank you, Preston, for supporting Faith FM. Okay. So our topic tonight, what does the Bible teach about money? So Pastor Gary, walk us through, what does the Bible actually teach us about money?
Yeah, look, Will, this is a really interesting one. And the reason I actually say that is because this is one subject that virtually everyone's actually got an opinion on. Yeah. If you go to the local barbecue, you can be guaranteed, and you start talking money, that someone will have an opinion on it. And if you happen to go to church, people have got an opinion there. And if you go into the secular world, certainly when you link the church and money, what you find is that people have got an opinion on that as well. Everyone really has got, you know, something that they think on this particular subject. But I think the really important issue here actually, Will, and this is what we're wanting to dig into this week, is what does the Bible actually teach about money? Because, you know, one of the real challenges that we've got is that certainly if you look at the secular, the non-believing, the non-Christian, the non-religious world, repetitiously what you find coming through in the media is reports of super rich pastors, ministers, leaders. Yeah. There are many dedicated leaders out there. But, you know, just this morning, actually, I downloaded an article off the internet. It was from The Richest. This is a site that actually gives the lists of the richest people in various categories. And this was an article entitled Holy Millions, The Richest Prosperity Preachers in the World. We often pore over the lavish and luxe lifestyles of celebrities in Hollywood and the music industry. We tend to think that such a position is only reserved for platinum-selling artists or actors on the silver screen. This opulence causes many to question whether pastors, however, the article points out that there are many gospel preachers with a net worth in excess of $150 million, quite a number of these pastors that are listed here are actually worth.
I'd be happy with $1 million, mate.
You don't have 150 million stashed away somewhere?
No, not quite.
Do you have a private jet somewhere?
I wish.
You wish. What about your own private boat to go out?
I had to sell that one the other day. Just kidding, mate.
Oh, look, as you read this, you sort of turn around and you say, hey, you sort of start to understand why people have certainly asking the questions which they are asking. Prosperity preachers, the article says, and megachurch pastors don't typically disclose the details of their fortunes for obvious reasons, so estimates do tend to vary. But what they've done in this particular article is to include just a few of the people. Kenneth Copeland, perhaps one of the most talked about preachers because of his lavish spending habits, is the evangelical preacher Kenneth Copeland. Copeland was heavily criticized for owning three luxurious private jets, which, in his defense, he says is necessary to talk to God because he didn't want to get in a tube with a bunch of demons. One of the aircraft is a Gulfstream 5 jet, the Texas-based pastor purchased from actor and comedian Tyler Perry for $20 million.
Wow.
Now, you know, if you're in the entertainment industry, if you're a big sporting star, you sort of expect that, okay, I mean, you're going to get paid these exorbitant sums.
Right.
But the whole problem is that within a church-type environment, you turn around, you say, you know, he's a person preaching the gospel, and, you know, should they be receiving this sort of reimbursement? Benny Hinn. Scandals also seem to follow mega pastors. Benny Hinn was born in Israel and has been recognized internationally for his purportedly miraculous healing powers, which always seem to happen when he's being televised. These displays of God's healing power are known as miracle crusades. However, the revelation of Hinn's financial charge for these healings and deliverances landed him under scrutiny as a prosperity preacher and for selling the gospel for profit.
Wow.
How do you feel about this, this type of thing? I mean, you're a preacher.
Yeah.
I mean, you're paid a wage, but, you know, it doesn't come real close to this.
Yeah, I mean, I think the common perception of people, you know, men of the cloth, is that almost like you've taken this oath to, I guess, to say no to the world and all its...
Well, if you're a Catholic priest, you'll actually take an oath of poverty, chastity, and obedience.
Right.
That's the oath that you will take. You know, you sort of look at it and you say, hey, well, this is something that as many people have dedicated their lives to this. And certainly if you look in the whole Christian genre, you find many pastors, certainly through centuries, have certainly dedicated their lives and have died as paupers.
Yeah.
And yet on the other side of the picture, you certainly have people who have certainly made it into an industry.
Yep.
Tell me though. To me, this, however, is something of a bit of a vexed question. Because let me tell you how some people do actually respond when this type of this type of article is actually read. Certainly the people who are being mentioned can simply say something like, aren't you just jealous of ministry success?
Mm.
Are we jealous of ministry success? Is it wrong? I've had people ask me, is it wrong to actually earn a above average income because you are successful? Now, certainly in the big wide business world, there's certainly nothing wrong with these particular questions.
Yeah.
But significantly, what happens is that we then come to the Bible. And it's really interesting that just as the Bible has said that the Bible can be interpreted or reinterpreted without considering the full and big question.
Right.
You see, one of the things that some people have actually pointed out to me is that, Pastor Gary, within the Bible, there are a lot of wealthy people.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is something that you simply can't deny this. You know, I mean, you look at Abraham. I mean, he was one of the wealthiest people. Job was a wealthy person in the East. And then, of course, you know, who can forget King Solomon?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, King Solomon. In fact, King Solomon, he's this guy. I didn't realize this until just fairly recently. But the incredible wealth of King Solomon is absolutely mind-blowing to most of us. In fact, I read an article some time ago that asked, where did the treasure of King Solomon go?
Right.
And I sort of thought, hey, this is an interesting little article. So I actually read the article. According to the Bible, now this is how much wealth King Solomon had.
Right.
According to the Bible, King Solomon obtained 666 talents of gold. That's 22,679 kilograms or 25 US tons in just 1 year of refined gold.
25 tons
of gold. Now, I'm sure it wasn't selling at $4,000 an ounce like it has been recently in this country. Right. But one thing I am convinced of is that it was known to be a precious metal even back then. The Bible account actually says that this King Solomon in 2 Chronicles 1:15, that he made silver and gold in Jerusalem as plentiful as the stones.
Wow.
Do you get a picture of what we've got here? He's got silver and gold. In fact, the silver got to such an abundance that they stopped counting it because it was regarded as nothing in the days of King Solomon.
Wow.
The opulence that we're talking about here. Now, some people have actually said, where did the wealth of King Solomon, if he had such amazing wealth, has it been stashed away somewhere? Well, actually, we know where it went. And this is the thing that a lot of people don't actually realize. And this is the beauty of actually digging into the Word of God, because the Word of God does actually tell us exactly where the wealth did actually go. You see, what occurred is that King Solomon, of course, followed the Lord God for many years. But as he grew older, he started to drift away. And then towards the end of his life, he came back again.
Yeah.
But a lot of damage had actually been done.
Right.
When he passed away, his son was King Rehoboam. And he tried to be as strong and as determined as his father. The people rebelled against him.
Yeah.
And you actually had two kingdoms established, a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. But what a lot of people don't realize is that just shortly after King Rehoboam, because that was Solomon's son who took his place, took control, the Egyptian army came and attacked. If you look at 2 Chronicles 12:9, this is what it says. He took the treasures of the house of Jehovah, that's the temple, and the treasure of the king's house. He took everything.
Wow.
The king of Egypt took the gold, according to the Bible, over to his own country, over to Egypt.
I wasn't familiar with that part.
Now, this is, when I realized this, I thought, wow, what an incredible reality that we've got here. You know, we stand in awe at the treasures of King Tutankhamun. How is it possible that you've got enough gold to be able to bury your dead people in it? Where did it all come from?
How did it come from?
According to the Bible, it actually came from Israel, from the destruction of the temple at the time of King Rehoboam. You know, to me, I look at this.
I never connected those two dots. I mean,
Look, to me, that gave me an aha experience when I firstly connected those dots. But you know, look, what I'm trying to say here is that within the Bible, we do have wealthy people. Wealth is not in and of itself a sin.
Right.
In the New Testament, what you've got is Lydia, a seller of purple cloth. And of course, a seller of purple cloth, that was the cloth of royalty. She was running a business and she was selling to the nobles a material for their clothing.
Yeah.
Lydia is not an unwealthy lady.
So she would have had money.
She would have had. And even the disciples, you know, sometimes we think of the disciples as being, they're just,
uneducated
fishermen.
Yep.
But if you think about it, as fishermen, they were actually small business people because they owned a boat. Now, not everyone could own a boat. Even today, not everyone can own a fishing boat.
Yep.
James and John and Peter and their parents can actually own a boat. These men are small business people. What you have is Matthew the tax collector. He's a small businessman.
Right.
What we've got here in the disciples, I believe, is a group of people who are primarily small business people. And to me, as I look at this.
I've never connected that dot as well.
I tell you what.
Small business owners.
But what I'm saying is that these people didn't go hungry at night. Okay. So these people, there is nothing wrong with wealth. There is nothing wrong, with working hard. There is nothing wrong with being successful. In fact, within Christianity, what you actually find, is that, when people come to Christ, over a couple of generations, the family, the children and the children's children tends to go up in socioeconomic standing. That's repetitiously what does happen. But you know, even that now, Matthew 26, though, and verse 11, and I'm really sorry, I've got to keep running on this one.
No, go ahead.
Matthew 26 and verse 11 says Christ has just been anointed by Mary. His feet have been anointed at Bethany, and they criticized Mary for that. And when Jesus was aware of it, that's the criticism, he said to them, "Why do you trouble this woman? For she's done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me, you do not always have." Do you know, Will, I think Christ is pointing out a brutal reality here. Mm-hmm. Christ is saying that we are always, are we going to ever get to the point, like an Australian Prime Minister did actually say, no one in Australia is going to live in poverty. He said that a long, long, long time ago. But you know, this is something that, Christ himself said, the poor you're always going to have with you. Now, you know, why do you actually have the poor with us? You know, Will, as I consider my society, within my society, you know, there are some people who through poor health are never going to become wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people who through lack of education are never going to become wealthy. There's people in my country who, because simply where they were born, they haven't had the advantages that I've had.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up myself in the western suburbs of Sydney. Did I have the advantages of living in the northern suburbs of Sydney? No, I didn't. Do I have better advantages than some others who live in the outskirts of our country? Do everyone in Australia have better advantages? Everyone in Australia has better advantages than certainly people in Africa. As I look at this, I say, hey, Christ is acknowledging the human reality, the poor, for whatever reason, you're always going to have with you.
Yep.
So here we've got this situation where within the world, we've got incredible wealth on one hand.
Yep.
And on the other hand, we've actually got, Christ acknowledges that the poor are always going to be with you. How do you bring the two together? You know, is there a place, and you know, as we get later into this week, I'd encourage you particularly to come back tomorrow night because, you know, to me, one of the most beautiful pictures is the picture of the ancient Jewish, system of running society, because in their society, under the principles that are laid down in the Word of God, at that time it was physically impossible for anyone to generate massive wealth or to be super poor. There was a coming together, and it wasn't communism. There was a totally different system in place. And we're going to look at that system tomorrow because I think it's vitally important that we understand what's actually happening here.
Wow. Hey, Pastor Gary, loving where you're taking us in this conversation. We're going to have to just pause very quickly for a break. So we're going to promote the book offer. But before I do, I just want to give, another gentleman has text through, William Amish, and I believe he is a local here in Adelaide. So William, thank you for your text. We've got your message and we'll get that book out to you as soon as we Cancer, thank you for supporting Faith FM Drive Time. So once again, we're going to promote our book offer. If you missed it the first time around, here it is again, Screen Smart. And this is a Vibrant Life special. So in this book, you're going to have informative yet exciting, thoughtful yet fun. Screen Smart inspires wise tech use and reminds us to stay present and rediscover that some of life's most meaningful adventures happen when we log out and live fully together. And I agree with that. I think many of us do. So if you'd like a free copy of that book, of the copy of Screen Smart, all you need to do is text the code. So tonight's code, SA427. That's the code you need to text. And the number to text that code to is the number 0488880811. Once again, code is SA427. Text that code to the number 0488880811. Follow the prompts and we'll get that book out to you as soon as we can. We're going to go to some music and we'll be back in just a few moments.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For
Yet not I, but Christ in me. Amen. That is from City of Light. We hope you enjoy that song. We've got a few minutes to go in our live show. If you've just joined us, we're on the tail end of our live show, Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A. We go weekdays live, 5 p.m. Adelaide time, Monday to Fridays. So I hope that you can continue to support us as we do our best to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our topic tonight, what does the Bible teach about money? Pastor Gary has been walking us through some very interesting insights from the scriptures. Pastor Gary, take us on the home stretch. I know there's a bit more that you want to share with our listeners about this concept about money and what does the Bible actually teach about it?
Yeah. I think that, look, getting the big picture right, I believe, is just so important.
Yep.
You know, there are a couple of extremes that you can run to here. On one extreme, people might argue that, there is no place for large churches. And yet the temple in the Old Testament, you look at that and you say, yep, hey, that's certainly an example of a glorious building. There are, yep, some things to honor God that are worth putting a humanity's funds into. But, you know, what we've actually said to this point is what you've got is certainly within the scriptures. You've got people who are both incredibly wealthy, and I'm talking at the very top of the scale. I'm talking the Elon Musks. I mean, that's what King Solomon was.
Wow.
In the New Testament, we find people who have actually been in business. That's where they've come from. That's their background.
Yeah.
Lydia, seller of purple, is making a profit when she sells cloth to the emperor. That is her business. Paul was a tent maker. He's a small businessman. So many of the people in the New Testament are small business people. So what you've got here, these people are hardworking people, and they are prepared to put in the effort to go out and to do business. But it's how they do the business that's actually so important. Because, you know, what I actually want to suggest is that, you know, how do we deal with the fact that within the Christian church, what Christ says is that the poor you will always have with you. There are some people who, through sickness, through misadventure, through lack of education, through a place where they grew up, are going to be poor. And look, we can say that's unjust, and it may be unjust. Can I right every wrong? Not in this world. You cannot. That's going to be finally occur when Jesus Christ comes again. But is there an onus on the believer? Well, I believe there is. You know, if I go to the book of James, what we actually find James chapter 2 verse 14, and what James does is puts on the practical realities of faith. And 2:14 in book of James, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, if he says he's a believer, but does not have works, can faith save him? And that's an interesting question. Now, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, but do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead.
Yeah.
You know, earlier in the same chapter, he said this, a pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Do you see, within the Christian church across the board has learnt this. It is so important. You know, when I consider the number of hospitals, schools, I consider the health institutions that have been set up primarily in the early days by Christian people. Orphanages were established by who? Established by Christian people because of their Christian belief. That's where they came from.
Right.
And you know, what the scriptures are saying is that if I am rich, I am duty bound to support the poor.
Yep.
But you know, the scripture doesn't stop there because it's also got something to say to the poor. Now, a lot of people don't actually realise this, and when I've shared it with a few people, they've actually struggled just a little bit because they didn't believe that such things like this are written in the Bible. And I want to go to 2 Thessalonians 3, this is the great apostle Paul. He's speaking, and he starts talking in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6, and he talks about idleness. Now, get what he's saying here, because you see, the Thessalonians, he had a problem in his church. But we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we were not disorderly amongst you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge. But we worked with labor and toil, night and day, and that we might not be a burden to any of you, not because we do not have authority to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. Then comes verse 10, and verse 10 is to me a mind-blowing passage. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if any will not work, neither should he eat.
Wow.
Now, you know, it's so easy within the Word of God to actually be very selective in what you're actually saying and to say, hey, look, you know, that, hey, you know, we need to love each other and, you know, the wealthy should give away, everything that they've got. Now, what the scripture is actually saying is that, is there an onus on the wealthy, to be able to support those who are poor? Most certainly.
Yeah.
That's certainly in the scriptures.
Yeah.
But at the other side of the picture, Paul's identifying that, hey, in the church of the Thessalonians, there were, to use our term, some freeloaders.
Yeah.
They were simply deciding not to work.
Yeah.
And Paul said, not work because they were sick. There are some who are sick. There are some who are aged. There are some who haven't had the education. I'm not talking about people who have got legitimate issues in their life. But what we're dealing with here is a person who should be working, is of a working age and should be working and is choosing not to work. Then Paul says, neither should he eat. Now, you know.
Tough love, it sounds like.
That's.
And not just tough love. I think he's. Everything that Paul did in the scriptures, how he, even in this incident here, he's modeling to the believers and to us. This is what it looks like when you are walking with God. You're responsible. You understand that, that you have a responsibility to your countrymen. And, you know, like he said, I'm not doing this because I'm Mr. the Apostle Paul. I'm doing this because This is how I'm modeling this for you.
I'm modeling her.
Yeah.
Every day Paul would go out and he'd make tents. And you've sort of got to think, you know, didn't Paul have better things to do with his time? But no, he sat in the shed, with other tent makers and made tents.
Yeah.
You know, as I look at the scriptures, I turn around and say there is an incredible balance here. Is wealth condemned? Most certainly not. But to those who are wealthy, there are a message, and we're going to see this week, a message comes through, I want you to care for the poor. But to the poor, you find the Apostle Paul turns around and says, hey, I don't want you to be a freeloader.
Yeah.
I want you to see value in work.
Yeah.
I want you. And he says to the church, if in fact a person will not work, then neither should they eat.
Yeah.
Tough words.
Wow. I love what you just did here at the tail end of our show, because so often it's always a one-way street. Love the poor, give to the poor, everything for the poor. Yes, amen to that. But you're saying, hey, Paul balanced it. He said to those who are, hey, you're not going to work, you're not going to eat. And so he was very balanced. And so I think that, and I love how you brought that out. Pastor Gary, unfortunately, our time has run out. Where has this hour gone? It's been awesome. And I've just loved here being in the studio with you tonight, Pastor Gary. So can I just give a very quick, preview for tomorrow? As Pastor Gary said earlier, tomorrow we've got Pastor Marty, Pastor Justin. They're going to be in the studio with the topic, could ancient financial principles help us today? They're going to be unpacking this topic of money, from a different perspective, and you will certainly be blessed. So on behalf of Gary and myself, we want to leave you with the words of Jesus in John 14 and verse 27. And the words of the gospel, the words of Jesus to us is this: peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Gary, you want to say a quick God bless and maybe a quick prayer maybe? We've got just a few seconds.
Father in heaven, Lord, come to you right now. I just want to say thank you for the privilege of being able to be involved in ministry. Lord, I just want to pray that you might be with anybody right now who maybe is struggling, who maybe the Holy Spirit is touching and saying, hey, look, this is what I'd love you to be able to do. Lord, I just pray that you'd be with that person. If there's someone sick, if there's someone hurting, if there's someone struggling financially, Lord, I just pray that you'd give them the wisdom to know which way to head. I just pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless. See you next time.